Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Shalom Bayis Shir number 576 with the Sefer Living Marriage, Binyan HaBayis, teachings of Moshe Shacharowitz, and we're up to Lesson 7. Lesson 7 is about understanding love, common mistakes about love, what the source of love is, three types of love, and the all-encompassing love of marriage. And the common mistake, he says, that people make about what the source of love is because we are influenced by the streets, what he calls the love of the street, which is the fact that external factors is what awakens that love in a person. That's the love of the street. You know, when a person acts in a way that inspires me to love them, then I'll automatically love them. A person is almost forced to love the others who do things that stimulate your love. From the perspective of the streets, the power of love is not in a person's hands. It's an emotion that comes over him or her. Depending on the constant change in external factors, it's an undependable emotion that comes and goes as fast as the wind. That's why you see when you research, especially in Hollywood, or actors, actresses, athletes, they have strong, forceful emotions that bind that the couple is inseparable for a while. And then the feelings change, and then with the blow of the wind, now they hate each other, and they separate, divorce, and whatever. This understanding of love is a complete mistake. Anyone who accepts such a perspective will find it very, very difficult to build a relationship of love with anyone. A father who only loves his child, when he does what the father wants him to do, is not acting like a father at all. That paternal love will not blossom. Same thing with husbands and wives. If you only love your spouse when they find favor in your eyes at the moment, then you didn't touch upon what love and marriage is all about. It's true with every love relationship, but in particular with a husband and a wife. It's not dependent on an emotion right now of how you feel about your spouse. What is the Torah perspective of love? According to Torah, the love begins with the person themselves. They choose to love. It's not dependent on the action of the others. Disclaimer here. Of course, each person, as a husband or as a wife, needs to work on themselves to do everything and behave properly to make it easy for the other person to love them. You don't try to challenge. But at the same time, every person's different. So if you do your inner self work especially, and each one does that, then the different personalities will create some friction and lack because we're human beings. And the idea, what the Torah tells us, is v'ahavta l'reyacha kamecha. You'll love your neighbor, which includes your husband or wife, like yourself. And Hashem would not command us to do something that's not in our hands. With these words, the Torah is revealing to us, we have the ability to love any person in the Jewish nation, whether they're like you or not like you, whether they're from your group of friends or not your group of friends, whether they're at a different level of religious observance or they have somewhat different hashkafas than you, and even if you never met that person. Not only is it possible for you to love every Jew, you're obligated to love every Jew, certainly your own spouse. Now, the problem is people generally tend to associate with those who are only similar to themselves in some way. And they are their friends, and they are their loved ones. And the other 95% of the population are people that, okay, we're mentioned, we don't have sinas chinam. It's people we don't fight with, but not necessarily people we love. And to believe that lack of similarity excludes the possibility of a closer relationship, if you believe that, then the potential connection will remain dormant, and you're excluding yourself on v'ahavta l'reyacha kamecha in so many levels for 95% of the population, and with your own spouse, husband or wife, because you're different from one another so much, in a great degree, there'll be many parts of your lives together where you will not necessarily feel an aligned emotion with them because of those differences or challenges. But the Torah tells you, you love regardless. Now, this expression of the damage we talked about here is a misunderstanding of what love is. If you define love as an emotion stimulated by outside influence, then you'll look at everyone around you that's not similar to you, or your spouse when they rub you the wrong way, they're strangers now. But if you think along those lines, you're missing the integral ingredient of what love actually is. Such a person may even pat themselves on the back that they feel they can fulfill a loving one's neighbors, even if they don't do much for him. As lack of love for the rest of the population is not in his hands. But that's a misunderstanding of love. And by doing that, you're negating the mitzvah of Ahavta Re'echa Kameicha from 95% or more of our nation. And you don't even realize that. And it could be that you don't really even love the people you're similar with. If you don't understand this concept, then it could be you don't even love the people that you're similar with, that you're quote-unquote friends with, or you don't even love your spouse, even when those emotions are aligned. That's not real love, necessarily. And this is the problem we have, he explains, when the love of the streets invades our home. It prevents true love from blossoming. Ramosha said that he met many couples whose relationship reached the level of B'nai Meriva, children of strife, meaning that they are fighting with each other, and their children clearly were born in that state of fighting with one another. And Ramosha thought to himself, maybe they simply don't know what a real marriage is supposed to look like. But when I asked the husband in such a marriage to describe how he pictured his relationship with his wife when they were engaged, he will generally paint a beautiful picture that shows that he actually knows exactly what marriage is supposed to be. And yet they're constantly fighting and being negative with one another now. So Ramosha asks further, if so, why don't you act according to the way that you preach? Looking back at me, he said, full of frustration, not knowing what I want from him, he explains, if she would stop causing me to suffer so much, you'd see what an amazing husband I can be. Now that's an extreme case, he said. And although that is taka an extreme case, but a misunderstanding of love can easily damage even a couple who has a healthy marriage founded on love. Why? Because to the extent that one believes that love is inspired by outside factors or emotions based on that, when a problem arises that challenges their harmony, they will feel, oh, the love left them, and even hatred will take its place. That's the problem. If you just base it on emotion, then when a challenge comes up, it's difficult to feel that emotion. It has an asinas mokum for even sinner to come in. While if you do the Torah way of doing love, acting loving, using your seichel for love, ultimately the healthy emotion will come, but that's the basis of it. Then there will never be a chance of any hatred or resentment coming in. So marital love is really the unwavering foundation of marriage that's not dependent on how either spouse happens to be acting at that particular time. Again, we're not making excuses for bad behavior, making that very, very clear. And when bad behavior is exhibited towards you, there's ways to communicate, daven, and then communicate things in a healthy way, but you don't waver in your love. Just like a good parent may be very upset at their child and still love them at the same time, so to any discord that a couple experiences should not affect that their underlying love in any way whatsoever. The foundation of love should provide them with positive energy to begin solving their issues and return their inner harmony that was temporarily lost. However, this is only the case when they know it's there. If the couple feels that their love leaves at every moment of contention, even the smallest arguments could potentially cause permanent damage to their relationship. Learning to verbalize one's inner love for one's spouse at times of discord is a positive practice. It helps a couple remember that their inner connection has not departed. It's very, very important. And we have shiurim on emotional intelligence in marriage in the Panimi groups. And we talk about this a lot. The ability for a couple even when they're not feeling that love at the moment, because right now they're in a disagreement or some crisis or some situation came up that caused them to be even upset at each other to a certain extent. But even then, to recognize and learn to verbalize inner love for my spouse. I love you. I care about you. We are one. It may be difficult and it may be unnatural for you to say that you love your spouse when you're upset. But it's an extremely powerful tool to keep things in perspective. It protects small misunderstandings from damaging their relationship. This is what the Torah teaches. Love is not dependent on the external factors, but it is in our own hands that must be present at every moment of the marriage to have that feeling. Now he says, Ramosha, a true story. He says a couple once came to him at a brink of a divorce. They had already been in Beis Din, were finishing the process, found it very difficult to go through with the final steps. After they both had the opportunity to express their deep frustration with their marriage and explain why they must get divorced, I asked them to tell me what was holding them back. And they began explaining that their children and their other technical reasons that made them separating very unattractive. So Ramosha said as follows, after hearing all their apprehensions and justifications, I said I thought there was an actual other reason. And they both agreed there was something else, but they couldn't put it into words. I asked them if they would like help, and they eagerly accepted the offer. I told them it's quite obvious. The word begins with L and ends with an E, which is basically love, which means like this. He sensed in this couple that even though they had come to a severe state of discord, a real big machlokes, a big separation with one another, it was clear from the way they spoke that they still had a strong foundation of love that made it extremely difficult to go through with the divorce. As soon as I mentioned to the couple that they still loved each other, they admitted that was the case, left my office with a new determination to try once again to overcome seemingly insurmountable barriers that were destroying their marriage. After about 3 weeks, they returned to me with exciting new discovery that neither one of them was interested in divorce. However, they wanted me to help them to make a plan to return their relationship so they knew it would be how it could be. With a relatively short time, a little work, and a lot of patience, they returned to a proper state of shalom bayis. So again, this is something that's counterintuitive because we are so much valuing our emotions, and I have the same aspect of it. I find it extremely powerful, meaningful. Emotions serve a very important place. Of course, we have to come to it in a way in true Ahavas Hashem and Yiras Hashem and work through it in a beautiful way. No question about that. But it has to come from an inner deep love, Torah base, which we're going to talk about in the next year more about what the Torah's definition of love is, and to not allow emotions to change that. It up comes ups and downs. There are ups and downs. You may feel flat in certain days or even resentful certain days, but it makes no difference. An emotional intelligent person says, I love you. This is what Hashem does to us. Even when he's upset at us, even by the egel, he put places. It's basically you look up the midrashim and everything. Hashem placed, even though he said externally, you read the Torah, okay, let's get rid of them. I'll make a nation out of you. It looks from the wording that, you know, Hashem is very upset and just threw us under the bus, so to speak. But if you read the mefarshim, that's where you need Torah Shabbat Peh and read between the lines and know what's really going on. Hashem orchestrated it to make it that Moshe should plead their case. And that the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachmim should come from after them, from the Egel. And that according to most Mepharshim, where the Mishkan was built after the Egel, that was it. That was the extra Hava, and the extra Hava that came afterwards because of that. So even at times when Hashem was quote-unquote upset at us, he in the deep depths of Hashem's pnimiyistika heart, Kaviyachol, he shows a love to us and brings it out to us. And this is what we need to do in marriage as well. The unshakable ahava that needs to be developed and worked on, and there no matter what the hurricane around us is. And by doing though that way, doing this, and by persevering, the love will ultimately heal and will grow and will thrive in your marriage. Bracha v'atzlacha.